Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to Talking Trots on this Easter Saturday. Well, a couple of the good form team have just said, I'm off for the long weekend, but not this man, Blake Redden. He's doing the hard yards with me on this Saturday morning. How are you, Blake?
Yeah, I'm terrific, John. Really looking forward to Talking Trots as always. I don't love the sound of my own voice. Hopefully we can get through the next half an hour, though, and get some good information out about what's going on, because it's a big weekend, as per usual.
Yeah, so no blue suit this week.
No, he's on some sort of holiday, but hopefully we might be away next week as well. I'm not too sure what his plans are next week, but he'll be back before long. But this week it's just me and you carrying the can.
And plenty to talk about too, Blake. We'll get to talk about the long weekend of trotting action in just a moment. But firstly, the week that was. Shadow Sachs, is he a Grand Circuit horse, yay or nay?
I think it's a most certain yay now. He sort of went to that Hunter Cup where he failed miserably, to be fair. But I think since then we've sort of decided that that was just a total aberration. What he's done either side of that, winning Geelong, Stawell, Cranbourne, cups, and then running such a brave race in the Kilmore Cup behind Soho Tribeca last week. He came out and in the Melton Plate, which was probably a more suitable race on paper, he was able to lead over the shorter trip of just 22.40, and he ran them off their legs. Soho Tribeca tried to test him as he did in the Kilmore Cup. They were both getting very tired in that Kilmore Cup, and certainly that sort of showed the last 50 metres with Soho Tribeca punching the breeze again and fading in the Melton Plate last weekend. But Shadow Sachs, he just kept on charging. It was a big win. He's now announced himself for sure. He's got a little bit of gate speed. He's got good toughness, and I think a will to win is maybe his biggest asset at that top level. So for a lot of people, it'll look at him and say, oh, I'm not sure where he was at. And to be fair, I think that might have even been connections sort of 3 or 4 months ago. Emma Stewart and co. Didn't exactly know where to set their sights, but I think it's quite clear now that he is Grand Circuit material. I think they're probably going to try and win the Country Cups Championship now, the Shepparton coming up in Shepparton Cup in a week or so, and not sure if he'll head to Mildura, but regardless, he'll have almost claimed the trophy by then, you would say, and from there on out, it's sort of I'm sure the Blacks are faking Queensland through July, and then into the Minions, big target for him now.
Maybe the Victoria Cup on the way. He'd certainly, with that little list of his conquest this time in, he's certainly got a lot of points for that Country Cup mantle.
He does. Got a semi-free hit in the Stawell Cup early in the season, but then to sort of control that Geelong Cup, he's second in the Kilmore Cup, banks more points, and as we said, he won Cranbourne as well. So it would take a monster performance to knock him off that throne. He's already clear, obviously, for that $25,000 prize pool, but he might try and seal the deal at Shepparton in a week or so.
All right, the Stampede was, well, these are always interesting races, being over the sprint trips, and we had ours last week.
Yeah, we had a really good discussion on gate speed earlier in the week. You can go back and listen to the podcast with Nadi Horn, Cody Winnell and myself, just talking about these sprint trip races and how they can potentially work for the sport. I think a lot needs to go into it to make them right. From what I've sort of, garnered and learned over watching sort of, them in the last 18 months or so really closely, is that when you've got horses of the same or similar class level, I don't think it works as well. You'll generally find the horses drawn well will just dominate the race from on pace. But what the Stampede did and what it can do is that it has a really good breadth of class, and the good horses get the poor draws, and the better and the more lowly assessed horses get the good draws, and it brings everyone into the race. We saw that with Mustang Bart leading, Vinny Chase outside him, and it's pretty much been proven over the last 8 Stampedes now that horses have won from almost every position in running. You don't have to lead. You can get back. You can lead. You can sit parked. So those class differentials is something that makes for a really exciting race, and it did that on the weekend. So when we're talking about sprint trip races, I'm not totally averse to bringing more of them in, whether you have a series, maybe a summer series, for example. But I think you need to maybe find a pool of horses where you can separate them by class and make sure you're drawing the better class horses poorly, so they have to do more work to get into the race. But take nothing away from Maxi, man. He's won the last 2 Stampedes now, and he's just a really honest trier that knows where the winning post is, and he was able to take out his second Stampede on the weekend.
And the other good thing about those, for want of a better description, preferential draws based on ability, they do open up the betting.
Oh, indeed, indeed, and that certainly happened. Maxi Man started, what, double figures in the end, and the horses drawn down low did start right in the market. So you're right, those preferential barrier draws even up the race, and you know, it's certainly something to look at. It would be a hard thing to program, given that you're asking horses to nominate for races where some of them might be quite outclassed, but they'll draw well, but, you know, and you're taking on better horses. So it would be a hard race to get the programming right if you wanted to make a series of it over, say, summer. But I do think that, you know, races like the Stampede particularly showed that they can work when they're sort of set up the right way.
We had a passing of Dougie Webster, a sad passing, but I'm sure that there'll be many fond memories of his time.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't know Dougie as well as a lot of people in the sport, obviously, being relatively new to it myself, but I obviously had spoken to him on a number of occasions, and, of course, Jeff Webster's brother, he's a man that loved the sport. He loved the animal. He had his own horses that he owned, and, he was quite proud of them and often loved to talk about his own horses, and he was just a legend around the tracks. I think everyone, pretty much involved in the sport has spoken to Dougie, you know, regularly. He's always at the track, and, really sad that he did pass away this week, but he will be remembered, as you say, really fondly for his love and involvement in the trots.
Have to mention the Bathurst meeting on Saturday night. We've got the Gold Crown and the Gold Tiara. Vic's taking a bit of time out.
Yeah, I think the Vics have had a really good carnival. They often, it's always a good, I guess, line of sight in terms of lining up those New South Wales 2-year-olds against and 3-year-olds against the Victorians, and that's certainly been the case this campaign as well, this Bathurst Gold Crown and Tiara series, because we've seen some Victorians go up there, and Mick Stanley's taken a good team up there and had some good success through the Crown and Tiara heats. He won a couple of races there, and David Jack took Major Kiss up, won a race. So there's been a number of different Victorian trainers that have gone up, tested their hand. Jamie Madruga, No Win, No Feed was another good winner. So it's one of those carnivals where it's just the early season still. They're all starting to fill out these two-year-olds, and we get a good line on them. And, you know, I think that we've more than held our own this year in terms of the Victorian interest in the Bathurst series.
Looking at the fixed odds market in the Tiara, Desirable Stride is the short favourite at 180, and in the Crown, the short favourite is College Chapel.
Yeah, well, College Chapel, we saw it do the business on Miracle Mile Night, I think it was, and clearly a really talented type of horse, so deserved favourite there. You know, Nathan Jack has the second and third favourites in About Time and Animal, both really talented two-year-old. Soho Thunderstruck for Mick Stanley's in the market for the Crown, so it may not be a one-horse race, and you mentioned the Tiara, Desirable Stride again for Mick Stanley, got a lot of time for this horse, and drawn the pole, you'd have to think the $1.80 seems a fair price, but you know, there's obviously a handful of chances outside of it as well, but there will be some good races come later tonight.
And finally, before we look at the runs of the week, plenty of trotting action right around the stud on this long weekend, Blake.
It always is, and it's no doubt the case again going through. Sort of, we had Thursday night, of course, at Melton, where we had really big fundraising effort for the Good Friday Appeal and the charity race there up the straight with the junior kids in the sulky and the older participants running down the track. But you're right, it continues on tonight with the Arrow Cup, which we'll speak about shortly, but also the Warragul Cup tomorrow night. There's a big party atmosphere at Echuca. I should say Warragul's tomorrow, Echuca tomorrow night, where they'll have a really big crowd and a good party atmosphere, and then it rolls through to Wedderburn, who's you know, only hosts a couple of meetings a year, but they'll have a really good show on Monday as well. So there's some good quality racing, big crowds across Easter, and hopefully everyone has a good time.
And plenty of chances to get to the track in lots of areas of our state.
Talking Trot's Run of the Week.
Well, Bakey, you've got 1, 2, 3 this week.
I have. I've got to do all three.
You'll have no one interrupting you rudely.
Indeed, I'll be able to pace myself through to the drum roll. It'll be spectacular. We'll do it a treat. We'll start from earlier in the week at Shepparton. The first two horses actually had pretty good runs in the race, but I think their horses to follow. Silver Jolt did a terrific job, I thought, chasing home the winner at Shepparton on Tuesday. So despite having that soft run 1-1, I'd be happy to follow Silver Jolt as a horse that, you know, outside of the obvious, chasing home San Domino, who set a, you know, really quick last quarter, 27.5, and to get as close as that horse did, I really think Silver Jolt will be winning very shortly. So he gets the 1 vote. The 2 vote goes to Tough Call. This is a horse that I think could be a really smart horse. I was surprised he was such big odds, to be honest, at Geelong on Wednesday night. He ended up rolling forward. He lobbed the 1-1 and he came out and had a real good, hard shot at the leader and winner there. He couldn't quite, reel it in, but, I still thought it was a phenomenal effort. It was first up from a break. I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of improved markedly at his next start, tough call. And I think he's a horse that will be winning and he won't just be winning next time. I think he'll continue to win. I think he'll, string a few together and he looks a really promising type. So follow those two as horses in their next couple of starts. Now the third one, I'm not breaking any ground here. We're not doing anything spectacular, but I think Shadow Sax deserves it. I mean, he's gone 153-1 in the Melton Plate. He did it all on his own out in front, and you know, it was a really strong performance. So Shadow Sax gets the 3 votes, even though we've already talked about him.
Yeah, now Bonners would criticise you for picking the obvious, but I think sometimes you just have to pick the obvious, Blake, because he ran that race at a blistering speed. So well done to Shadow Sax, and look forward to seeing him elevate into the Grand Circuit Company. Driver of the week, are we going to deviate away from Puppet and the Candyman? It's hard to.
It is hard to, but they've had their turn. We like to mix it up a little bit, and I think this guy got an honourable mention the other week. Ryan Duffy continued his form. Of course, his partnership now with Mick Stanley, and he's driving winners left, right, and centre right now. Wantling a Dream the other night, Soho Malibu. So he's clearly a, you know, a young guy that has a lot of love for the sport, and he knows his horses really well, and he's having some great success early doors. So he might have been driver of the week once before early doors, Ryan Duffy, but he snagged it again with a couple of recent wins, but also just putting together a really good CV the last month or so.
All right, Ryan Duffy, the driver of the week here on Talking Trots. All right, Blake, we'll take a break here on RSN 927. The other side, we'll get stuck into our preview of Ararat.
Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots. It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Welcome back to the program with JT and the Baker Boy minus the blue suit. We have Ararat Cup night on tonight. You've got some winners for me, Blake?
I hope so. We've handled the first half of the program pretty solidly, I feel. So we really need to get down to business and as you say, try and find those winners.
All right, first event tonight goes at 6:29. There are no scratchings at this stage. How do we bounce the ball?
I've gone 11, 6, 10 and 9. I know it's a really tough track to be coming from off speed, Ararat, but I've got a lot of time for all perfection. She's only had the 10 starts. Her last three this preparation, she put together some nice wins at Mount Gambier, you know, first and second up, and then came back to Victoria at Horsham. She had every chance behind BG's Bandit, make no mistake, but that horse is pretty talented, competes in a stronger race later in the night, and she was terrific there, just holding down second all the way to the line. I'm confident that she can work around them at some point mid-race, and from there I think she'll put herself right in the finish. So I went with All Perfection. If you're looking for the danger, I think it's probably So Bob's Your Uncle. Made a good dash at them last time out. The run never really came to an end, but just the leader kicked on Snigidus. That form line should hold up okay from the front row and draw. He's open to improvement. So Bob's Your Uncle, so he's the main danger, but I'd be including Solemn Joey, even go between Shania Black with a little bit of luck and Magic Cruiser in your first fours. My number's 11 to beat 6, 10 and 9 in the first.
11, 6, 10, 9, race 1. Race number 2 is a trot here over 21.95. Again, we have no scratchings at this stage, Blake.
7, 4, 8 and 11, siding with the class, Mr. Sundawn. I think you kind of have to be with him. I know he's drawn wide of the front row. He hadn't won for a little while before his win last time out at Cranbourne, but I think that could just be the thing that helps him turn the corner. Bacardi Carter's a nice horse. He dealt with that horse pretty well. Won a lot of fray behind him as well. And all his recent form around Mepatla Malone and that Athen Rye Prosthesis, it's all good enough to suggest now with that little confidence build of this preparation, fifth up, if he wasn't already, which he would have been rock hard fit, he will be now. And, you know, he has that front row advantage over a couple of his rivals. So I'm happy to be with him, Mr. Sundown. I think MVP could be the little improver drawn inside him. The run at Mount Gambier last time out doesn't look particularly flashy. He sort of just got back. He held his ground to the line. But I just think with the front row draw here from the mobile barrier, he's capable of running a cheeky race MVP. I can just feel a bit of improvement coming from him. Outside of those, Aldebaran Pirate didn't have much go his way last time out, only just went down. He'll need luck from inside the second row, but there's little doubt he's got the talent to win the race. Val Sue could be another one that you could throw in at bigger odds, along with Jack of the Green and Keep the Dream for the Rhyming Brigade. 7 to beat 4, 8 11 in the second.
7, 4, 8, 11 race three. We're up, race two rather. Up to race number three for the 3 year olds tonight out at Ararat. Field of 11 at this stage to go around. We have no scratchings. Possibly save the game the first emergency, but we'll wait till a little later on this morning. Who wins this one?
I'm hoping Kang Bazooka. I went 8, 9, 3 and 11. I just think that Kang Bazooka is coming out of a stronger race. He was on debut there behind Rapid Run and Joni Ann, and he kept up pretty well. They went a 26-7 final quarter. He was only beaten 5 metres. I liked his work late. He's drawn inside the second row. The big concern, of course, he'll need some luck early, or either getting off the inside or playing for luck through those middle stages. But either way, I think he's probably, you know, capable of just being better than them on the night. So he's the way I lent Kiang Bazooka with that first up run. He should be better for it, and he's on top for me. Of Dennington Heights, who's the last start winner, again drawn the second row, not ideal, but you know, that Mount Gambier win should top him off nicely for this. His form around Best of Beauty and John Richard early this preparation in Victoria is certainly good enough to have him in the mix somewhere. And then you're out to a horse who again can improve, another Matty Cravermond that I'm expecting to run a better race, Goal Kicker. The debut effort was actually quite sound at Geelong. It did a little bit wrong there, but I thought the 15-metre margin was a bit unfair behind Love You Cookie and Tennille Erin, who ironically enough won Thursday afternoon. But I'm just forgiving that second run and saying that she could be better from the front row back in Victoria. And outside of those, Whitehaven Lass, Sarge, even Rosie Apples and Lone Star State could be your first four players if you wanted to pump some value in. But my number's 8 to beat 9, 3 and 11 in the third.
8, 3, 9, 11, race number 3. Last leg of the early quaddy tonight, Blake, is race number 4. This is 4 years and up. CO, who wins the last leg of the early quad?
Probably let's save the day. Drawn inside the second row again. I'm sort of harping on about that a little bit. Look, definitely the best horse in the race. Has trialled well for the return. Has only had sort of 4 starts in Australia. All behind really good horses. Watch the catch regardless. Wymack Attack, and isn't she just... all much stronger than this, and he'll just need to be sort of semi-fit enough and have the chance to get off the inside barrier draw early, and I can't see how they can beat him, to be honest. Let's save the day. So on top clearly of Santana Breeze, who's sort of working towards another win, 1 second up, and has put together 3 solid performances since then behind Better Than That its last couple. That form should hold up pretty well, and then you're sort of getting out to Sealed and Sinful, who's trialled well enough. Ian Stanley, Ryan Duffy, that man we spoke about earlier, takes the drive on debut. Definitely don't totally discount it as a winning chance. And Heath Byrne, LMA, Lady Perseverance and Reggie's Choice next best for those wider bets. But 8 to beat 9, 5 and 4 in the fourth.
8, 9, 5 and 4 in the fourth event. First leg of the normal quaddy is the Ararat Trotters Cup. For the Trotters, of course, over 25.70. And we have one early scratching is Thanks for Playing is out. Fixed odds with Tab. Father Christmas is $1.90. Crown Dream at $5.50. Kai Valley Boomerang, same quote, and then we're out to $8 for El Bundy. Now, this former Kiwi, Father Christmas, has been in really good form. Win at Melton, solid placing at Melton, and a really solid win at Bort. Can he keep winning?
I think he can. He's definitely my on-top selection. 10, 1, 9 and 7 are my numbers. You mentioned sort of his first up run at Melton was sound. He then went and beat Rock tonight. That was a massive performance, really. To reel that horse in the last 50 metres at Melton, 2 starts back, and that Trotters Cup where at Bort they broke the track record. He did it all his own, and he was too strong for them. So he's off the 20 metre mark. He was only off 10 last time, but it shouldn't be much of an issue. He's proven he can get around it, you know, a tight enough track in Bort last time, and I can't see any reason they can turn the tables on him. Even though there's a couple of X Factor horses coming into this, I'd still be quite keen to be with Father Christmas, despite it not even being Christmas in July yet. But he's on top of Belts, who's drawn the pole. I think he's the value player if you wanted to try and get the favourite beaten. His win at Maryborough 4 starts back, where he was able to lead off a 10-metre mark, is a good indication that if things do fall his way, he's more than capable of winning. That was an easier race than this, but he could run a very cheeky race around this course for sure. So he's that one little blowout threat, along with Crown Dream, who's a class runner, just drawn the 10-metre mark first up from a break. He'll be better for the run, and Al Bunny's the other one, I guess. Black Valley and Kai Valley Boomerang next best. 10 to beat 1, 9 and 7 in the fifth.
10, 9, 1, 7 in race number 5. Race number 6 for the Mares. This is a sprint over 1790, all starting.
Yeah, going 6 to beat 5, 3 and 2, incredibly tough race. And you could also throw Major Powers and Torto Jane, but I just like the way All-Stars Megan is going about it. My Kiwi Way couldn't get the job done Wednesday night at Geelong, came through that same form race, but look, I think she can just roll forward, lob handy to the speed, and her form prior to the last start second as well was very good, so she's in the mix and on top for me. Jules Peach is obviously good enough to use that gate speed, even if she can't get across, which I'm not entirely sure she can, but if she doesn't, I still think she's capable of winning. Caesar's Astrum definitely goes into all quaddies. Queen of Kings can improve from the good barrier drive that found the pegs, and as I mentioned, you can play even wider with Major Powers and Torto Jane, so wide quaddy leg here, 6 to beat 5, 3 and 2 in the 6th.
6, 5, 3 and 2 in race 6. The feature is the Ararat Pacing Cup, Group 3, worth $30,000. We have an early scratching here in number 3, Top the Age. Fix with Tab here. Motor Meteors, $2.10. Massini, $4.80. Jillaby Bandit, $6. Rule of Thumb, $8. Perspective is also $8. Top two in the market. Look, the top two to beat for mine. Who are you going for, Motu or Massini?
I've gone another way, to be honest, John, and I sort of feel like I've jumped on the train too late as well. I've gone 1, 9, 11, and 5 Jillaby Bandit. He's $11 into 6. I'm not overly comfortable with the current price. It's probably a touch short. I think the $11 was probably a touch long at the start. His first up win at Terang didn't really grab me. I must admit, I thought it was just a pretty plain win, but they did go a 27-5 last quarter. His second up win at Ballarat was just sensational. They went a 54-7 last half. He worked to the breeze and he just monstered them. King of Rock and Roll and co. And, you know, he can only be better for it third up. He's obviously got a really good record at you know, that age restricted level. So this is a big, big step up to take on Motu Media on Massini. But, around Ararat, it's only a 21.95 metre cup. It's not a staying cup. I think he has a few things in his favour at the price, Jillaby Bandit. As I said, too short now, but he's my on-top selection for a bit of value. Plenty of respect for both Motu Meteor and Massini. Motu Meteor, his big issue is probably that he had to sit parked outside of Perspective in a staying race last time out around a tight track in Oyen. He couldn't reel Perspective in. There's every chance Perspective leads again, similar sort of track, but over the middle less trip. Can he do the same thing, sit outside him and reel him in? I'm not too sure. He's definitely good enough to do it, but, you know, he's potentially a touch of unders. Massini, if it was any other track, say, you know, Melton or a bigger 1,000-metre track, he'd probably be your on-top selection because he's going that well. He tries hard, but he's just going to have everything fall his way around this sort of track to win from right out the back. But he's definitely in the quaddies for sure. And then you've got, horses like Perspective who could easily repeat that Oyen Cup win. Rule of Thumb was enormous last time out. It'll be interesting to see how he steps up to this level, and Code Black Shakuhari next best in what is a really intriguing cup. 1 to beat 9, 11 and 5 in the feature.
1, 9, 11 and 5 from Blake in the Ararat Pacing Cup tonight. On to race number 8, we have one early scratching in number 10.
Yeah, we do. 5, 8, 9 and 4 are my numbers. Cruz, I think he's the best horse. I'm pretty confident he's the best horse engaged. He's drawn the front row as well, which means he can use that electric gate speed, and provided that gets him across the face of the field, which I think it should. Mr. Freeze drawn inside him's got enough to sort of roll forward, Time Thief from the inside draw, but I think he'll probably lead Cruz. He's got his stablemate outside him, who's another quick beginner flying circles, so it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. But he was beaten only by Emain Macca last time out, Cruz, and his effort to do it from the breeze was quite notable. I would have thought his win prior at Melton, beating form analyst when he led, is a really good indicator that he can run time and on the pegs. I can't see how they catch him tonight, Cruz, so he's on top. Even if he doesn't find the pegs, I think he'll probably still win. Kiang Da Vinci is the horse that's just been crawled by the barrier draw. His first three runs is preparation, particularly his past two when he beat King of Rock and Roll, then ran a narrow second at Ballarat to that horse, is indicative that he's ready to win again, Kiang Da Vinci, so definitely include him in some saver quaddies. He'll just need luck. BG's Bandit is definitely a horse that knows how to win. Mr. Freeze isn't the worst at odds, and Lannister's same story. You can play pretty deep, but I'm happy to sort of stand Cruz out in a number of bets. 5 to beat 8, 9 and 4 in race 8.
5, 8, 9, 4 the 8th. Race number 9 for 3-year-old trotters. We scratch 5.
4, 7, 9 and 8. Sort of tossed and turned a little bit in this race, whether to go for the race brigade or the unknown debutante brigade. And I have gone for the debutantes. Debutantes, I should say. Morgan Miley's just taken me at the trial. She's by Majestic Sun out of Lindy's two-step, and what it was probably that improvement from her first Shepparton trial, where she just battled hard and she toiled to win that trial, to her second one at Bendigo, where she showed a good amount of speed. She really dashed up late. I think she can win on debut Morgan Miley. Magical Ride still untapped and still learning for Matty Craven, but he's definitely in the winning mix. Caesar Moments, probably the key race brigade horse that I'd be happy to throw into your multiples, and Trotting Rockstar next best. But my number's in the second last of 4 to beat 7, 9 and 8.
4, 7, 9 and 8, and we wrap it up with a climber who wins.
Hopefully I'm Intense. I went 2, 1, 4 and 7. The speed map will be important early, but I think I'm Intense can lead. Probably doesn't need a hand up at Ararat if he can find the pegs first. He's more than capable of trying to lead all the way. He's sort of handed up his last couple. He ran second to Matt Cruiser, two starts back narrowly at Cranbourne. That was the writing on the wall run, and then he was able to get the job done at Bendigo last time out. So I'm happy to say he's still on that upward trend and racing well enough to win I'm Intense, but might be Lux an interesting one, the stablemate. I think he's going better than the figure form suggests, and if I'm Intense does lead and hold the lead, then might be Lux will get every chance along the passing lane. Jodan, the third of the stablemates for Bone Tyndale, I think can make it a trifecta, but Classy Western will be running on as well. Really interesting race again. 2 to beat 1, 4 and 7 in the last.
What's your best tonight, Blake?
It's a good question. Father Christmas touching odds on, you know, it's sort of around the mark. I think Kiang Bazooka will win race 3, and you can't have an each way bet on Jillaby Bandit in the cup. You know, he'll drift back out to probably $7.50, $8 later tonight, and that's when I'd be happy to step in again.
And quickly before we wrap it up, it's Warrigal Pacing Bowl Cup tomorrow. It's a Group 3. Are you with Cruz Bromack?
Yeah, he'll be winning. You would have thought Cruz Bromack. He's had a little while in between runs, but he's trialled on a couple of occasions. He's just the best horse engaged. He can probably roll to the lead whenever he likes and be too strong for them. I think Chris Kinkios is a good horse a little earlier in the card. Race 4, number 1, you'll probably get better than even money. You will get better than even money, and that horse is dead set flying at around $3. It's the one I want to be on, race 4, number 1.
Where do we get all the form this Easter, Blake?
All on goodform.trot.com.au. I'll be firing up the game plan for Ararat tonight very shortly, and then Warrigal tomorrow, and there's plenty more going on with Echuca and then Wedderburn on Monday and other meetings.
Hey, well played, Blake. Have a good Easter, mate.
You too, John.
Well played, Blake. We'll see if the blue suit makes a return to the show next week. Well, that is it for Talking Trots. JT saying a very good morning and also happy Easter to you. Latest in sport coming up with Andrew Hughes. The other side, Greg Miles has trainer talk. Big day at Caulfield and a super day up in Sydney.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.